Well, get ready to travel with us today. And this is Doris. And with us, we have Lois, who loves to travel. Lois, how are you?
Great. It's good to be on this article because, well, we're going to journey to various cities around the globe and stay healthy on your way.
Well, it's not surprising that Lois travels because her husband is an airline pilot, and that makes it easier for you.
That's correct.
I've traveled with Studio Classroom and Heavenly Melody. And then we have Joe. Joe's kind of younger than we are, but Joe, have you traveled very much?
I've done some traveling, but it's mostly been through China and a bit of Japan.
Well, that's pretty good, though, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, Joe, you're going to go a lot of places now because there's an opportunity to go around the world, and let's travel without any problems means without a hitch. That's what our article is about.
Right. And so something going off without a hitch, or the show went off without a hitch, without any problems, no baggage, just very smooth.
So we're going to go around today. We're going to journey to different cities, various cities all around the globe, all around the world. But we want to stay healthy, don't we?
We sure do.
And so where is our article starting today?
Well, we're going to have our introduction, then we start in my home city, or we like to say hometown, and that's Toronto. That's in the province of Ontario in Canada.
Now, we can't give too much time to Toronto because I know when Lois gets started on Toronto, she'll want us to all go there, right?
Well, Canada is a wonderful country.
Well, it is, Lois, and we're glad you're with us today, everybody. And page 18 is where we're going to start. We're going to talk about different kinds of places. What word do we have today that's going to talk about differences?
Well, we have a word that says diverse, which means differing one from the other. And so it says several diverse melting pot cities around the world.
A melting pot, you hear this all the time. They talk about America being a melting pot. I think many cities are melting pots now.
Right. It's not just the United States. There's a lot of immigration and travel and different population centers that have a lot of different people, very diverse populations.
But some of these cities seem to have more than others, and we're going to talk about them. Won't that be fun?
It's going to be a good trip.
So let's get started right now and read the first section on page 18.
Travel without a hitch. Journey to various cities around the globe and stay healthy on your way. Several diverse melting pot cities around the world. We travel the world to see new sceneries, taste new cuisines, discover new customs, explore new sights, and meet new people. Holistically speaking, we hit the road to experience an unfamiliar culture. It's an added bonus when the destination we're visiting happens to be home to several cultures, thanks to its diverse population. With a varied populace comes a melting pot of restaurants, neighborhoods, events, and other cultural gems to uncover. Below, check out the list of some of the world's most cosmopolitan cities, where a multitude of ethnic and cultural backgrounds are represented, in no particular order.
Well, we're going to talk about these different kinds of cities that are melting pot cities. You know, melting pot cities sounds good in a lot of ways, but that also causes problems when there's a lot of different diverse countries. Isn't that true?
Right, because there's a lot of cultural misunderstandings. I come from one background, someone comes from a totally different one. We might not necessarily understand each other.
But you know, when we travel around the world, we like to see different countries, don't we, Lois?
We sure do. And sometimes now I often think that the actual cities don't become melting pots anymore. They almost are like what we say as a mosaic, meaning you can find this culture, their people and their food in some area of a large city in the world now.
I think that's a beautiful way of saying it. I sometimes say America isn't quite a melting pot. It's like a salad. There's some tomatoes over here and some lettuce over there.
Right. And we often say in Canada, it's a mosaic in that we do bring all these people together in a city. Let's hope we can celebrate together and take the best from each culture.
Well, you know, it's always been that way. The high school I went to, I had people from the Philippines and China and from, oh, let's see, all kind, Japan, every country.
All kinds of European
Filipinos
countries,
Mexican,
I'm sure.
Yeah, in Seattle, downtown,
yeah.
Right. But, you know, and also they all went to, like Germans, there was a German church and there was a Chinese church. They went to their own churches, but we all went to school together. Mm-hmm. And so it was a melting pot in school, but we still had our own cultures. Mm-hmm. And in certain places in America, all the Polish people or the German people, because their relatives came and they settled there, had their restaurants. So it's kind of true that it's a mixture, but they still have their own flavor, right?
Right. Right.
So that's what we're going to find about today, and especially about the food cuisines here. What does that mean?
Cuisines, oh, right, cuisines from all over the world. So you get to taste something that's new to you.
Vietnamese food.
Right.
Every kind of food.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people thought they didn't like certain foods. For instance, in my country, Chinese and Italian food has been there as long as I can remember, right? But now we have new foods. For instance, there's Ethiopian restaurants, or there's Jamaican restaurants, or there's foods that maybe people never have tried. Now they're venturing out. They're going into these neighborhoods and trying these different foods.
So usually we go around, you know, the world to these countries and find it. But it says here, holistically speaking. Now, I think that's a very interesting thing to talk about. What is holistic?
Right. Holistic is just a fancy way of saying on the whole. It's the all the parts put together. You look at something holistically.
Okay. And it says you hit the road. I like that because people that like to travel, they say, let's go on a trip. They sometimes say, hit the road. It's kind of a idiom, isn't it?
Right. Like that famous song, Hit the Road, Jack.
I was just thinking.
Like a song about
exactly,
that.
Hit the Road, Jack, and don't you ever come back. And it says, hit the road here to leave a place or begin a journey. So you're going to go from the place you probably live to somewhere new.
Right.
And when you go there, it's nice to see everything, to see the scenery, but something added, something extra, like a bonus when you get there, when you're visiting, happens to be home to these different cultures. So if you go to a city that has a lot of diversity, then it's good, isn't it?
Exactly. I find for myself it makes it more interesting. For instance, I know about myself, I don't want to eat the same food and drink the same drinks all the time. I like diversity. Mm-hmm. I like a difference in my food. So one night I might want Italian, but another night I might want Thai.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And it says this variety here. It says, with a varied populace comes a melting pot. With the different people from different countries all get together, then you can find in the same neighborhood an Italian restaurant right next to a Chinese restaurant.
Exactly.
Right. And so it says there are all these cultural gems to uncover. And I think that's so true. You're in a city, you walk down one alley, and there's Indian restaurants. You go down another alley, Thai restaurants. There are all sorts of different flavors, customs, and languages to uncover, to explore.
And you can find it now in Asia, in the big cities in Singapore. You can get Indian food and all Cantonese food, and in Shanghai and in Taipei. Mm-hmm. You can get every kind of food in the same area, which is interesting. It's not always just Chinese food.
No. But the interesting thing about all the cities we're going to talk about today is they're all in countries that accept immigrants, and people can eventually become citizens. So because of that, you have huge communities, not just a dozen families or anything.
No,
you have
true.
Hundreds, thousands, maybe tens of thousands.
So here we're going to check out the list of some of the world's most, what we call, cosmopolitan cities. That's an interesting word, cosmopolitan.
Cosmopolitan is just a nice word that means, you know, a place where people or different cultures from all over the world gather together in one place. We have a cosmopolitan city.
I always think of those cities as being what we'd call more sophisticated too, and more advanced. When we say it's cosmopolitan, it's not countryish.
No, I always think of it as bringing the best from everyone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a nice way of describing
that. That's a good way of saying it. And there's a lot of this, what we call ethnic, which would be your local Chinese cuisine or German or whatever it is, or the cultural background. They're all represented, and there's no certain order that this is only here and there. They're all over. Isn't that true?
Right. It's great.
Aren't you excited to see what places?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You know, Lois
so.
Can hardly wait to talk about Toronto. So let's read about Toronto first, and then we're going to hear more about it.
Toronto. Toronto, one of the largest cities in Canada, also happens to be one of the most diverse in the world. In fact, nearly half of Toronto's residents were born in another country. With more than 200 nationalities, Ontario's capital city is home to people from Italian, Irish, Scottish, Chinese, Filipino, French, Jamaican, East Indian, and Ukrainian origins, among others. This cultural hodgepodge is most apparent in the city's community pockets, including Chinatown, Greek Town, Little Italy, and Little India, to name a few. And although English is most widely spoken here, the streets are constantly abuzz with over 140 different languages.
Well, Lois, I'm so glad that you can talk about Toronto. I've been there, too, but, you know more about Toronto. Let's explain this more.
Okay, thanks, Doris. Well, first I'm going to tell you that you'll have to check the newest skyline pictures of the city because it's changed a lot even since this picture.
Really?
But it is a city that has become almost cosmopolitan overnight. So since I've lived in Asia, which is 14 and a half years,
yes,
this city has completely changed. It has welcomed the world. And when it says half of Toronto's residents were born in another country.
Just think half?
Half.
That's incredible.
It is so true. And wow. Because of that, you do hear every language in the world. And I was recently in a hospital with my parents, and this kind of gives me goosebumps. The hospital was offering translation for 140 languages.
Oh, wow.
So they had
they could do that in a hospital.
So they had people on call who were volunteers or people who were their staff that could give translation. So that's pretty amazing.
Now, I actually have a question because when I was reading this, and I'm not from Canada, what in the world makes Toronto so attractive?
Well, I think one of the things is, I think there's been a little bit of confusion because it's not on the East Coast. It's almost more like in the middle of the country.
Right.
It's warmer. It's in southern Ontario. And southern Ontario, believe it or not, that province where Toronto is the capital of, the furthest tip of southern Ontario is equal to as far north as the northern tip of California.
Okay.
So the weather is more desirable.
Now that's in Ontario.
Yes.
Is the province.
Is the
right?
province.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have, you're on a Great Lake. And a Great Lake is really like a freshwater sea.
Yes.
So that's attractive. And it's also our financial capital.
Okay.
So those are the things. And when it talks about Ontario's capital city is home to people from all these different backgrounds, and then it tells us that they have all these community pockets. I was saying to Joe, yes, they do, but they also have Little Portugal, Korean Town, a Jewish and Middle Eastern section, and their food. And an area not far from where I grew up specializes in a lot of Thai food. So it's very, very diverse.
Isn't that something? Well, I've been there, too, and but, you know, we always think about, when I think of Canada, I think of Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
because it's also culturally
mm-hmm.
that way, because it's on the West Coast,
right.
not too far from Seattle, right?
But Vancouver has more people from Asia,
mm-hmm.
whereas Toronto has people, and I'm not kidding you folks, from every continent in the world.
Right. 200 nationalities?
That's intense. And in the article, I know it describes it as a cultural hodgepodge.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love this word because, you know, hodgepodge, it's just a mixture of different, dissimilar ingredients.
Yes. Right.
And to say they come from everywhere.
Right.
Really, it's a hodgepodge.
So like she said here, the community pockets, like you said, the little sections, because the people come, their
yes.
relatives come, and they move in the same area.
Right, right. And my son-in-law, actually, some of his family originally lived in Little Portugal, because when they immigrated to Canada, that's where they settled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and you know, just in the last few years, I've been introduced because of my son-in-law to Portuguese food, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Because that's because they have these little pockets of community pockets. And of course, every city has Chinatowns, I think.
Right,
and
I think so.
A Greek town, you know, an Italian. That's always been popular.
Yes.
But now Indian food is getting around more, too.
Something I find very interesting, you know, about how we label things in English. So you have Chinatown.
Yes.
We call it Little India.
Yes.
Now, is Little India actually smaller than Chinatown, or is Little India also big?
Little India is big as well, but it's just that they India is India, right? So they call this Little India. Yes. And it's interesting how you can find, like, also food that's from Eastern Europe. There's a lot of Eastern Europe.
In Ukraine and those areas.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of influence, especially in our bakeries, of food from, like, Scotland and England and Ireland.
Well, do you have a lot of Russian? In Seattle, we have a lot of Russian restaurants.
Yes, we have a lot of Russian and Mongolian and Moroccan.
Mongolian and barbecue, yeah.
But the interesting thing is it's the actual people cooking it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not somebody who learned the cooking and then brings it back to their country. It's the actual people.
Right, so it's authentic cuisine.
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
So people go there, especially you'll have a great time. It's a great sports and live theater city, and it has amazing food.
Well, I'm glad that they can still speak English.
Yes, they certainly can.
Because there's 200 different languages, and you can still hear a lot of English, of course. It's widely spoken. That means that, of course, these people speak it. They might have a little accent that sounds like that, like a Philippine accent or something.
Right.
A lot of Filipinos go there, too.
Yes, a lot of Filipinos have settled in there, and they have a lot of jobs in the tech industry and in our health services industry.
Well, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? And it says here that English is widely spoken, but the constant abuzz with, that idea of buzz, that sounds interesting.
Right, and so it says the streets are constantly abuzz with over 140 different languages. A buzz, it's almost sort of in the background, that zzz sort of sound.
Yeah.
And you say, what are they talking, you know? Yeah.
Right, so you can say, you know, the room was abuzz with chatter about the new gossip. Or
So Teacher Lois's favorite ethnic food in Toronto, just so their listeners know, is Jamaican/Caribbean food. So if you've never had that, when you go to Toronto, go to the east side, the very far east side of the city, and you got to have some Jamaican-Caribbean food.
Well, send Lois a message before you go, and she'll tell you the best
places
to go.
That's
top
right.
She could be on the tourist bureau there, don't you think?
Right.
Yeah, I think she is. Yeah. But, you know, it is interesting because there are so many cities now that are becoming more diverse. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. And the idea that, you know, you're not just going to hear one language on the streets. You know, when I'm in Taipei, I almost always just hear Chinese. But the idea I could hear any kind of language is incredible.
Right. You can hear it. That's true. Well, now we're going to jump across the country here because that's towards the east. It's not on the east coast.
Nope.
But you go down to the west coast of the United States. And, of course, everybody's heard Los Angeles, and most people in Asia have one relative that lives there.
It always seems that way.
It seems like, you know, some people told me they studied English at Studio Classroom, and they were going to go to the States, and they got to Los Angeles, and all they heard was Chinese, Chinese newspapers. So if you're going to go to Los Angeles, you don't need to bother studying. You know, it's kind of funny, because there's so many people speak Chinese there, right? But let's find out more about Los Angeles, because there's a lot of different people there. Let's read about Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Los Angeles is known and loved for its varied landscape, which offers opportunities to swim at the beach, hike in the park, and explore a bustling city all in the same day. That diversity also extends to its population. People from approximately 140 countries, speaking 86 different languages, call the City of Angels home. Visitors can get a taste of this multicultural mix in the city's cultural enclaves, such as Koreatown, Little Tokyo, Chinatown, Little Ethiopia, Thai Town, and Boyle Heights, to name a few.
Wow.
Well, Los Angeles is, I don't even know if we need to mention it because everybody knows about it, but we're going to talk about it because it is a melting pot in some ways.
Is that the City of Angels, Doris, Los Angeles?
Well, that's
its name, right?
They call that. But you know, it's because it's close to Mexico. I always think of Mexicans when I think of Los Angeles. And actually, as a person who has blonde hair, when I go down to Los Angeles, I kind of look, they look at me like, well, where are you from? Because everybody is either, you know, Mexican
or Asian.
Chinese or Asian. Mm-hmm. And you kind of think, well, I'm from the north, you know, I'm from Seattle. Like a different world. But it's known and it's loved for its beautiful landscape. But I don't think the landscape is as beautiful as the Northwest because they don't have as many trees and green things. You know, it's down in the south.
I'm
more.
A fan of the Northwest too, Doris.
Right.
I agree with you.
But they do opportunities. You can go swimming and they have beaches, Redondo Beach, and they have all kinds of things going on in the beaches. They're fun.
Right. I think a lot of people go to Los Angeles often for new opportunities. It's such a bustling city. There's
well, if
so
you want
many
to be
things.
In the movies,
right?
Of course, Hollywood. I mean, you know, after all. But there are a lot of parks around there, and it is a very bustling city. And they have Los Angeles, Greater Los Angeles. They have places like Pasadena and Arcadia, Huntington Beach. Mm-hmm. They're all part of Greater Los Angeles, mm-hmm. so it's not just one downtown. Mm-hmm. You know, it includes a big area there.
Right, and their downtown, as my husband always says, doesn't really kind of seem downtown
because
it's more suburbia almost. It's spread and spread.
They have some big buildings downtown.
Yeah.
But the diversity goes to all of its population. Can you imagine there are people from 140 countries at least living
there? Right. It's amazing to think about, and, you know, there are so many different languages being spoken there. It's not just Spanish, and it's not just English.
No, 86 different languages. And they have some streets right downtown near Los Angeles where you can see paintings and carvings and Filipino sections, and they've got a lot of sections in Los Angeles. But imagine that. And you can get a taste of the multicultural mix in their culture. We could say enclaves or enclaves.
Enclaves, right. Mm-hmm.
I think we should say enclaves usually.
Right.
But what is an enclave?
It's just an area, so a group of people that's within another larger group. And
right.
so you can have a wealthy enclave in an area or a cultural enclave here, where maybe the dominant culture, people from Mexico or, you know, other mm-hmm. groups, but smaller groups within that is a cultural enclave.
Well, you can go to this area, like it's called Koreatown, and you have all Korean restaurants. Or you can go to some place where there's all kinds of Japanese restaurants, Little Tokyo. And, of course, Chinatown is very big there. It's very well known. And even Little Ethiopia, can you imagine?
That was something I actually had to look up. And I think, Lois, you mentioned this before we started about Ethiopian food.
Yeah, it's really popular in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, of course, Thai food is always popular, a lot of places, people who like spicy things like Thai food, you know.
Right.
But then there's a lot of Vietnamese restaurants every place, too, now.
Right.
And what did you find out about Ethiopian food? Because most of our readers wouldn't know.
See, that's the thing. I found out that Ethiopian food is actually has a lot of spice. It's a very rich food, right?
Yes.
I've never actually had Ethiopian food. Have you, Lois?
No, but it's really popular with my sister.
Right. If you like spicy food.
Yeah, she really likes it.
Right. Well, and then they have things like, you know, they call these different places, different areas where they have these different things. And you can find Little Italy every place, wherever you go.
Right.
There's an awful lot of Mexican restaurants.
Yes.
Everybody down there in L.A. likes Mexican food, it seems like.
Mmm, yum.
Right.
I like Mexican food a lot.
But we have Mexican restaurants all over the world, too.
It's true. Although a friend of mine told me, so we lived together in Virginia, and then he went off into the military, and he goes to California. And when he came back from Los Angeles, we were trying to eat a burrito in Virginia, which is sort of a wrap with some different meats, rice, whatever. And he said, oh, now that I've been in Los Angeles, I can't have burritos anywhere else. They're so much better there.
Yeah, well, they have a lot of different types of food. That's true. But they do have an awful lot of Mexican food, too, because they're very close to Mexico.
Right.
There's a lot of Mexicans there, you know.
And out of this list of places, it's very interesting because all the other locations, you have Koreatown, Chinatown, Little Ethiopia, but you have Little Tokyo. It's not Little Japan.
No, it's Little Tokyo.
It's Little Tokyo.
Right. Yeah,
so
right.
For listeners, you'll never find Little Japan somewhere.
No, it's always Tokyo.
Little Tokyo.
It is.
Because Tokyo is such a big city, and it's everybody knows it as that city. So that's what they say, Little Tokyo.
Right.
Yeah, it's usually it's Italian, just Little Italy.
Yes. Little Italy,
it's not Little Rome.
Yeah. No.
No, but it is interesting. There's German food and even Austrian, every kind of food.
Yeah. And the other place, I believe Boyle Heights, that's actually a largely Latino population. So
yes.
I know all the other places list what country they're
right.
from. That one, it used to be mostly a Jewish population.
Okay.
And then later on, a lot of Latinos came in and moved there and sort of kind of took over that area.
And I find it interesting on the whole west coast of North America, we sometimes think just Mexican food, but I have had a lot of food now on the whole west coast of North America from Central America.
Oh, yes.
There's so much Brazilian food.
They have Brazilian barbecue.
And I just love some food.
Have you ever had Brazilian barbecue?
Yes, I have.
It's mostly meat. This is really good.
I'm vegan. This is so hard.
You better stop talking about food now because you're getting hungry. But anyway, we're going to find out if you want to travel, there's certain ways to do it, and we're going to talk about it. But we started out today, and we're going to go to some interesting places tomorrow. So stay with us. We'll see you then.
Goodbye.
Bye.